Welcome in. Time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Thing I was sitting down in the what I would call a coffee shop of my home yesterday, and I read a couple of articles that were in yesterday's Seattle Times. One is entitled "Capitol Police Chief Blasts Carlson Over Misleading January 6th Footage," and the other article that I read that was right above that was entitled "China's Foreign Minister Predicts Likely Clash with the United States." Both of those articles were incredibly important. I'm going to put a full focus on the first one that I mentioned, which was written by two New York Times reporters, entitled "Capitol Police Chief Blasts Carlson Over Misleading January 6th Footage." Now, when I had dinner last night with some friends, I basically said, you know, I think maybe I've made a mistake here. I don't think things are going all that bad in terms of with the Democrats. As a point of fact, I'd like you to listen to what Jim has to say. It's the same conclusion that I came to very early this morning, and it shows the rationale behind what's going on. Jimmy, you're on, bud.
Well, I mean, I don't want to get into the details with the Capitol Police Chief and what Mitch McConnell said, because it's like this is a information war.
Yeah.
And what I think people need to realize, if you want to step back, America and Americans were frustrated and have been frustrated with this expansion of federal government, with never-ending wars, with this complete, you know, ignoring of the border problem, different, you know, tax issues, and I'm not talking about even the inflation today, but I'm talking about, you know, the financial collapse in 2008 and 2009, the negative impact that had on the economy, and so many frustration, the push towards, you know, universal health care. There was a tremendous number of things that were really frustrating the American people. And of course, that most importantly was the loss of jobs in middle America,
yep,
the industrial center and the industrial base. Now, that frustration actually fomented up to a point where an outsider, Donald Trump, was elected in 2016 as president. And, you know, this was not because if there was someone else that was talking the same issues, they would have been elected. It wasn't because of Donald Trump's character, because he was a great guy, but he represented something. He was talking about things that many middle-class Americans were very frustrated with our government. That's what this whole battle is about. And he comes into power and attempts to change the direction of government to represent the interests of American people before the globalization of the nation, which has cost so many jobs. The
yep.
powers that want globalization, the big entities, the corporations and the tech companies that have amassed so much influence and so much power and pushed out, I'm sorry to say, but many small businesses with COVID that control the media narrative, because in fact they want to, they're basically their advertising agents, you know, that's what we're talking about with major corporations. And of course the tech companies that provide that information, they want an outcome. That outcome is globalization, for free flow of labor, for free flow of capital, for the ability to expand their markets and make more money. And that's their goal. The problem is it costs Americans. And what we see in Washington is the frustration and the fight between the two entities. There's this group that wants a broader, and this includes Republicans, some senior Republicans. Paul Ryan is a great example of that. Mitch McConnell, great example of that. Mitt Romney. They want a more globalized system. They don't look at the United States as the best place in the world, or they look at it very differently. And of course, that group is aligned very much with very influential corporate powers, which fund campaigns. Those corporate powers that fund campaigns, the Koch brothers, whatever, they fund Republicans that stay in line with that agenda. Trump represented a completely different set of people. Those people were frustrated with what's been happening. They weren't just Republicans. They were Democrats. They were working class Americans. They were independents. And that's the battle that's happening in Washington right now. And it's still an attempt to turn those people into something, as Hillary Clinton said, deplorables, because they're fighting for their own interests. And that's the battle that we're facing right now in America. And everything you're seeing in the media is a struggle between very influential corporations and tech companies and the voice of innocent Americans that were just frustrated with the outcome in 2020 because there were so many questions that were unanswered.
I want to say one thing. I think the one person, the one politician who agrees with us is somebody who I know pretty well. He was really the first really notable politician who I had as a guest on this program, and that was probably going way, way back to, at this point in time, 2004, 2005, and that's Ron Paul. I got to know Ron really, really well through my business, through his chief of staff at the time, Jeff Deist. Jeff is now the president of the Mises Institute, which is in Auburn, Alabama. Very, very well-known guy, published author, very conservative, I might add. But Ron feels exactly the same way that I'm starting to feel again, Jim, and exactly the same way that you feel. He is fed up with all of the BS that's coming out of Washington, D.C., and he was doing what he could to try to change that. Now, when he ran for election, he became a bit of a cult hero, but he was not elected to the office that he was running for, and he's now running an institute which is based in Texas, called the Ron Paul Institute for Peace and Prosperity. And I could add the two words "for all" on there. I am not seeing that attitude coming out of Washington, D.C. right now. And that's a real blow to me, because I don't understand why it isn't coming out of Washington, D.C. Our politicians are paid and elected to help us, and it's not. You want to tell me what's going right now is helping the American population? Whether you agree or disagree with what's going on right now, that's irrelevant. What is relevant is what's going on right now with the huge, huge schism in our society, a huge amount of distrust among people, and that's not the way that I'm made. I like to be able to trust people who I include in my circle of colleagues, for lack of better terms. And I think, Jimmy, that's what you're saying right now.
I truly believe that, and this isn't about, you know, what I believe or not, I shouldn't say I believe, but my looking at this from an analytical perspective, you're seeing a divide that is actually being perpetuated by influences that in the past had tremendous power over people. And as you get more information that's spread and actually dispersed throughout, you know, a community with different views and ideas, that control and that narrative begins to waver, because people start looking behind the scenes. Why did we fight in Afghanistan and walk away after 20 years and leave it completely back to the same people we were fighting and that we attacked in 2001? Why do we have now nearly 20 plus million illegal immigrants coming into this country, and 6 million in the last, you know, 2 years.
Hey, Jim, can I interrupt you just for a second with the software that I'm using to improve the audio on this program? We can only go 10 minutes. So we're going to take a real quick break, and I want you to continue immediately. Same train of thought.
Find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You are listening to KER Politics. We will be back in a moment.